Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And you can become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. And I want to welcome our latest Patreon supporter, Jack. Jack is supporting us at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support. You can also support the program on a one-time basis, support.greatdetectives.net, through the Zelle app to box13@greatdetectives.net, or by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date is July the 16th of 1950, and this one is The Lotus Cup of Amun-Ra.
Now, Del Monte Foods brings you a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan.
Anything I can do for you, lady?
Oh.
No need to be frightened. I'm okay. The name's Jordan. I run this cafe.
Oh, yes. I have heard of you.
You seem to be afraid to go out into the street. Maybe you'd like me to call the police.
No. No. You can do me a favor, though, Mr. Jordan. If you would keep this package for me, just for a little while, an hour or so.
Oh, it could be arranged. I'll put it under the bar.
Oh, I would rather you put it in a safer place.
Just what I thought. Maybe you'd better just take your package along with you, miss. I don't want anything the police might be interested in.
You mean, you think it is stolen?
I don't know, is it?
Mr. Jordan, how dare you? If you do not wish to do me a small favor, there is no need to insult... Oh!
What's the matter? Oh, a big native in the door with a turban and robes and the scar on his face?
Yes, it is El Hassan. Oh, Mr. Jordan, please, please help me.
Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Yes, Del Monte, the best liked brand of canned fruits and vegetables in the whole wide world, takes you now to the Cafe Tambourine in Cairo, gateway to the ancient East, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's Rocky Jordan story,
The Lotus Cup of Amun-Ra.
It had started when a beautiful Egyptian girl came into my cafe carrying a package. After a moment, a young man joined her carrying an almost identical package. They talked for a minute, then he got up and left with no more than a nod. She looked like she might be going to cry, but the curious thing was they'd exchanged packages quickly, smoothly, without a sign. A moment later, she got up and started out, but she stopped at the door and her eyes widened with fear. That's when she came back into the cafe and I asked her if I could help. It was then we saw the fierce-looking Egyptian in old-fashioned robes glaring at her from the door.
He frightens me.
Why, who is he?
An enemy of my family. A religious man and one who is insane.
And he wants the package you have?
I think so.
And you don't want me to call the police?
No, it would only make matters worse.
So you want me to keep the package for you? Why?
Because you look so kind and I feel I can trust you.
Okay, miss. Maybe I'm a first-class sucker, but give me the package. I'll lock it in my desk in the office. But don't be all night. When will you be back?
An hour. Two at the most. You will give it to no one else?
No one. Well, your friend El Hassan seems to have ducked away from the door, but he might be just outside. Will you need any help with him?
Not now. He won't bother me now, but he may...
May bother me. Oh, don't worry. I can handle him. I hope. El Hassan was nowhere in sight when I escorted the girl outside and into a taxi. I came back and carried the package into the office. It was surprisingly heavy, and I was a little bit tempted, like a kid with a Christmas package. But I locked it in my desk and came back to the bar and waited. Sure enough, after about half an hour, El Hassan showed up, all smiles.
Effendi, sir. The young lady has made her emissary to get the package she left with you. You will give, please.
I'll give it only to the lady herself.
But she has sent me. I am her emissary. I, El Hassan, priest of the sun.
Beat it.
You dare to insult El Hassan, priest
of... You want me to call the police?
Infidel. Unbeliever. You will be sorry.
Get out and stay out. He went all right. Now I began to wonder what kind of trouble I let myself in for. He sounded like the girl said, insane. And religious fanatics are bad medicine, especially in the East. I began to hope she'd hurry back. Instead, I got a visit from someone quite different. He was a mountain of a man, overflowing the chair and dwarfing the table. But he was dressed richly and stylishly in European clothes, and he was smoking a cigarette and sipping a drink. And he spoke in perfect cultivated English in a hearty, friendly tone.
You are the famous Rocky Jordan, are you not, sir? My name is Ross. Almond Bay Ross.
Glad to know you.
Sit down, sir. Sit down. Won't you join me in an aperitif?
I never drink my own drinks, thanks.
You should, sir. You should. Excellent.
Thank you.
So few people seem to appreciate today that life and its pleasures are to be savored. All of the good things of life. A drink, a well-cooked meal, an exquisite work of art, a legendary treasure. All are to be savored. Enjoyed to the full.
Yes, I suppose
so. The ancients understood that. Their civilization had a glory that lives on today. Yes, even their religion had a splendor, a terror that could be savored.
Yeah, I'll bet, but I don't know much about such things.
You don't, sir? You've never heard, for instance, of the lotus cup of Amun-Ra?
No, can't say I have.
You're sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Well, that is too bad. You must study it sometime. It's fascinating, sir. Fascinating. A fabulous golden cup in the shape of a lotus, with an exotic religious history and a fascinating legend, immensely valuable. It is, at present, in our Museum of Egyptian Antiquities.
Look, Mr. Ross.
Huh? What is it, sir?
You didn't come here to discuss ancient religion with me.
No, I suppose I did not.
Would you care to explain why you did come?
Of course, my boy. I came expressly to thank you. Yes, to thank you on behalf of myself and my niece.
Your niece? Oh, you mean the girl who was here earlier tonight?
Yes, of course. A beautiful creature. Don't you agree? She sends you her most heartfelt thanks for your assistance, and I add mine. We are most grateful for what you did.
But now you want the package?
It is no longer necessary for you to be troubled. I will...
Surely your niece told you that she asked me to give it to no one but herself.
Mr. Jordan, you do not understand. I am her uncle, her guardian. Of course I should do nothing that was not to her best advantage.
No, it won't work. There's something very phony about all this. I don't know why you've been beating around the bush, taking up so much of my time. Wait a minute, maybe that's it.
But, Mr. Jordan, wait a minute.
Chris, has anybody gone into my office?
No, Rocky, not that I saw. What's up?
Come on, we'll see. I ran over to the office with Chris right beside me. And I was right, he was there, El Hassan, and he had just gotten the desk open. He whirled as we came in, and his kick caught Chris off guard, and he went down. El Hassan picked up the package and started a bolt, but I hurtled over Chris and hit him with a flying tackle, and we both went down. The package went skidding off into the corner. Then I saw the knife in his hand. It started down, then suddenly it was gone as Chris let it go with a kick. Sent the knife spinning away. I heaved at the same time, and Scarface flew off across the room. By the time I was up, El Hassan was out the back door and running.
Rocky?
Chris, you all right?
Okay. How about you?
All right, thanks to you.
Forget it.
Hey, Chris.
Hmm?
Look at the package.
Oh, yeah. It broke open, did it? Hey, Rocky, that looks like the U.S. Mint.
Yeah, gold. Pure gold, maybe.
Well, what is it?
I don't know. Some kind of cup. An antique, maybe.
Yeah. Expensive, like in a museum.
It's in the shape of a flower, like a lotus. Like maybe the lotus cup of Amun-Ra.
What's that, Rocky?
Oh, never mind. Look, Chris, keep it with you under the bar where you can watch it every minute. Don't let it out of your sight.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to pay a visit to a museum. At first, I made a phone call to Sam Sabaya of the Cairo police. I told him I suspected a robbery at the museum, and he agreed to get the top man and meet me there. So when I got to the closed and darkened Museum of Egyptian Antiquities, a squad car was parked at the curb, and Sam and another man were waiting under the light at the front door.
This had better be important, Jordan. We took Dr. Harding away from a dinner party.
I think it's worth looking into, Sam.
Let us hope so. Jordan, this is Dr. Rolf Harding, the curator of the museum.
I was shaking hands with one of the most strikingly handsome men I'd ever seen. Dr. Rolf Harding was in his 40s with a dusting of gray at the temples, But he was the kind of man women swoon over.
How do you do, Mr. Jordan?
It's a pleasure, Dr. Harding.
What is it you think might be missing, Mr. Jordan?
You have a gold relic called the Lotus Cup of Amun-Ra?
Well, yes, although that is not its official designation.
Could we see it, please, Doctor?
Yes, of course.
We walked through the long, deserted, echoing halls of the darkened museum. It was like walking through the tombs of the dead. How many centuries of ghosts haunted those rooms? Finally, we stopped in a small, dark alcove, and Harding touched a switch somewhere, and a glass case before us was spotted in light. And there, resting safely in its velvet cradle, was the softly glowing gold of the Lotus Cup of Amun-Ra.
Well, Jordan, there it is.
And of course, you didn't really suppose it was stolen.
Well, yes, frankly, I did.
Oh, impossible. We have a most complete system of security.
But you see, I have a cup exactly like that in my cafe right now.
Why, that's impossible. This was the only one in existence, the only one that ever existed.
I could be mistaken, but I'd swear that I have an exact copy of this back at the tambourine.
You realize the implications, Dr. Harding?
Yes.
It might mean, for example, that this was not the real one, that a substitution had been made.
Gentlemen, this is a terrible thought.
Assuming that such a thing were true, who could have made a copy? Who had access to the original?
Why, only young Professor Bronwyn is in charge of this section. Or rather, he was.
What do you mean, was?
He resigned recently, left the museum, is leaving Egypt. Oh, by coincidence today, he was to take a plane tonight.
Coincidence? That is too perfect a coincidence. What plane? What time?
Why, it seems to me the 10 o'clock plane.
We're too late. Never mind, come on. We must get back to the tambourine and get that other cup in at once.
On the way, I told them about the girl and boy and the exchange of packages, about El Hassan and the attempts to get the cup. By the time I got back to the tambourine, we were all convinced, I'm sure, that the cup I had was the real Lotus Cup. And according to Dr. Harding, it was worth somewhere close to $250,000. So we were all a little anxious as we got there and burst in on Chris, who was sitting placidly behind the almost empty bar.
Hiya, Rock.
All right, Chris, let's have it.
Hmm?
The cup. Come on, give.
But, Rocky...
What's the matter? Haven't you got it?
Why, no.
Chris, I told you not to take your eyes off it.
I didn't, Rocky. But the girl, she came back, and it was her package, you know, so I gave it to her. Did I do wrong?
El Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Here now is Larry Thor.
Friends, of all the delightful styles of pineapple you've ever enjoyed, I think you'll say the most different, the most exciting, is Del Monte Pineapple Chunks. Different because they're great, big, tender wedges cut from double-thick slices of superb pineapple. That makes each luscious chunk a generous bite size, about 1 inch long by about 1 inch wide. Thick, juicy, just the way you've probably imagined you'd eat pineapple fresh on a tropic plantation. And here's where the exciting part comes in. These handsome chunks are full, absolutely cram full of the richest, most refreshing tropic flavor. That's the first thing you notice about any style of Del Monte pineapple. Because Del Monte raises its own exclusive strains of fruit, picks and packs them right at their best, when natural tartness and sweetness are in perfect balance. Really, for sheer eating pleasure, try Del Monte pineapple chunks, tossed in a salad, or cool and sparkling in gelatin, broiled with barbecued meats, or just by themselves for an easy eating dessert. Remember, I'm talking about chunks. Del Monte pineapple chunks. Ask your grocer tomorrow.
And now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Lotus Cup of Amun-Ra.
It was no use blaming Chris for letting the cup get out of our hands. It was my fault, and Sam Sabaya let me know it. Then he telephoned a report on the possible theft and started a trace on Bronwyn and his airplane passage. Next, he talked to Dr. Harding.
There are tests you can make to determine if the cup you have is genuine or a copy.
Oh, yes, several. I'll do it right away.
Good. In the meantime, Jordan and I will find the beautiful young lady with the other cup, and then Jordan shall identify them both.
Just like that. And how do we go about it?
By calling on her uncle, Ahmed Ben Ras, I believe.
I don't, Sam. He was working against her, behind her back, hand in glove with that Scarface character, El Hassan. And she was scared to death of El Hassan, I know that for sure. She may not go near her uncle.
Jordan, you do not understand the situation. Ahmed Ben Ras is one of the wealthiest and most influential men in Cairo, a highly respected man. He is not one to frighten nieces or anyone else. He is a collector of antiques, it is true, but it is beyond belief that he would resort to theft to obtain one, even so valuable a treasure as this.
Oh, you're right, Captain. Ras once tried to buy the lotus cup from the museum, offered 100,000 Egyptian pounds. Of course, we wouldn't sell.
And Bronwyn knew of that offer?
Of course.
So maybe Bronwyn offered him a private deal.
And why would Ahmed Beyrat be a party to such a thing? He could never display his treasure. He could never even admit he had it.
I don't know, Sam, but it all fits.
Never mind that, Jordan. You are going along only to identify the girl in the cup. Remember that. I will do the talking.
It was after midnight when we got to the home of Ahmed Bey Ras. He lived, like many of Cairo's wealthy, in a houseboat on the Nile. It was still lighted, and we went aboard and aroused a sleepy servant. Sam's badge produced quick action, and in a moment we were shown into a salon of the most sumptuous wealth I've ever seen. It was like something out of Cleopatra's court. And there, squatted in the middle of it all, was the mountainous body of Ahmed Bey Ras.
Come in, gentlemen. Welcome to my home.
I am most sorry to disturb you at this late hour, Ahmed Bey.
You do not disturb me, Captain, I assure you. I am not an early sleeper, as you can see. And Mr. Jordan, now I shall be pleased to serve you one of my drinks.
No, thanks. No.
Huh? Then this is an official and not a social visit.
We hoped you might be able to help us, Ahmed Bey.
Of course, Captain, if I'm able.
You went to the Cafe Tambourine tonight to get a package left there by your niece.
That is correct.
May I ask what was in the package?
I do not know. I did not ask her.
And I suppose you didn't know that while you talked to me in the cafe, your friend Scarface was breaking into my office to get the package.
No, I did not. I have no friend named Scarface, but I presume you mean El Hassan, who has a scar on his face.
Who is he?
The priest of a fanatic religious sect. Worshippers of the ancient religion of Amun-Ra. Seems to hate me because I collect relics of his religion.
For instance, the lotus cup of Amun-Ra.
You think that is what was in the package? Simply because I mentioned it tonight? No. I'm sure it is safe in its case in the museum. Oh, I would like to have it, I admit. I even tried to buy it once. The legend about it is fascinating. It is a sacrificial cup. It is said that whoever shall drink the deadly wine from it shall not die, but rather gain eternal life. Now, that is an interesting thought, is it not? Eternity? To savor the good things of life?
You say the cup was not in your niece's package, but how do you know? Where's your niece now?
Why, right here, of course. Where else should she be?
Here.
May we see her, sir?
Of course. Farida, my dear, will you come in, please? Gentlemen, my niece, Farida Amar.
How do you do?
Yeah, baby.
I am happy to be able to thank you in person, Mr. Jordan, for what you did. You were most kind.
Miss Amar, may I ask, from whom you obtained that package?
Why, Professor Bronwyn, it was a gift. We exchanged going-away gifts because he was leaving.
A rather expensive gift, wasn't it, miss? The lotus cup of Amun-Ra?
The lotus cup? Why, no, Mr. Jordan.
What was his gift, then?
Why, this. The dish right on this table here. It is gold-plated, yes. And shaped like a lotus flower, yes. But surely no one could mistake it for the lotus cup of Amun-Ra.
Evidently someone did, Miss Emma. We are sorry to have disturbed you. Come along, Jordan.
I guess I looked a little foolish, but there was nothing to do except make my apologies and get out. I waited in the car while Sam made a phone call, and then we headed back downtown.
Well, Jordan?
Sam, I'm not convinced. There are too many holes in their stories. Too many strange coincidences.
Jordan, I just called Dr. Harding. He is certain that the cup in the museum is genuine. In other words, no crime has been committed. At least, none we know about. Even if Bronwyn did make a copy of the cup and give it to Ras, that's not necessarily a crime.
And there's nothing you can do?
Not much.
But, Sam, are you convinced?
I am indeed, Jordan. Dismiss it from your mind.
It was 2 a.m. when he let me off in the deserted street outside the tambourine. But I didn't feel like going to bed, so I started to pace around the block, thinking. Just as I came opposite the alley behind the cafe, something caught my eye. A dark patch in the moonlight. Something looking out of place, but vaguely familiar. I walked into the alley, bent down, lit a match. Now I knew I was right. So I made it into the office and put a call through to Sabaya.
Sabaya.
Sam, it's Rocky. I've got some information for you.
What?
Professor Bronwyn didn't take that plane.
I just got that. But how did you know?
Because he's here, lying out in the alley behind the tambourine, with a knife through his throat. I got away from the tambourine before the police arrived because I didn't want to get tied up. I had a few things figured out, and maybe time was important. As it turned out, I was right, because just as I got to the houseboat, I caught Farida Amar leaving, carrying a suitcase. Miss Amar.
Oh, Mr. Jordan.
I want to talk to you.
But not now.
Now. I want to know about you and Bronwyn. I saw you together in the cafe. I saw how you looked at him, how you almost cried when he left. You were in love with him, weren't you?
No.
Maybe you're running away now to be with him.
No.
And that would account for why you were so nervous. You knew it was a double cross. You knew he was giving Ross the copy of the cup. You were in it with Bronwyn, and you planned to meet later and live on the loot, isn't that it? How much was it? How much did Ross pay?
No, you are wrong. There was nothing like that.
No? Well, listen, Miss Amar, I've got some bad news for you. Bronwyn is dead.
Dead?
Yeah, murdered.
Oh, no. No, he wouldn't do that.
Who wouldn't? Your uncle? Or his hired man, Scarface?
No, no.
Now, baby, if you want to save your pretty skin, you'd better talk.
I... What do you want to know?
Ross killed Bronwyn?
Yes.
And he does have the cup, or the copy of the cup?
I don't know.
Nice try, my dear, but it won't work.
What?
Put your hands up, Jordan. I have a gun.
Dr. Harding. You're one guy I didn't figure.
Shows that you can never tell, doesn't it, Jordan?
Oh, Rolf, darling, you shouldn't
he
have...
He would have guessed sooner or later, Farida. He was asking too many questions. But now, we won't have to worry about him. Come on, into the car. You drive, my dear, with Jordan beside you. I'll sit in the back and keep him covered.
Where are we going?
To the ruins of the Temple of Amun-Ra, out in the desert. Because at dawn, there is scheduled a most interesting ceremony. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's something unique. A ritual held this morning for the first time in 30 centuries. One performance only.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story.
Everybody has his own favorite fruit, of course, but there really isn't anything that has quite the same appeal as a combination of fruits, now is there? That could mean a lot of work for you in the kitchen, but it doesn't if you take advantage of that delightful combination called Del Monte Fruit Cocktail.
Delightful is the word for Del Monte Fruit Cocktail, all right, Larry. You get 5 fruits, and 5 fruits you'd have a hard time finding in season all at once at that.
Yes, there are mellow peaches and tender pears already cut up for you and mixed with dainty pineapple tidbits, juicy seedless grapes, and bright cherry halves. And really, that flavor balance is so right, so refreshing and good. You'll want to give your paring knife and cutting board a rest and use Del Monte Fruit Cocktail for mixed fruit salads, starters, and desserts right along.
I know it's been a wonderful time and work saver for me. Not only in summer meals, but as a snack for the children between meals, too.
Why not give yourself a break this summer, ladies? Del Monte is just the colorful, luscious fruit cocktail that can help you. Get several cans at your grocer's tomorrow.
Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
It was a long ride, and Harding talked freely. So by the time we got quite a ways out in the desert, I had the whole story complete. Ross wanted the Lotus Cup, so Bronwyn agreed to get it for him, planning to substitute a copy for the real one in the museum. But Farida tipped off her boyfriend Harding, and he, being Bronwyn's boss, was able to cut himself in on the deal. Then, because Farida told him why Ross wanted the cup, Harding suggested the double cross of giving the Egyptian the copy instead of the original. Ross would know the difference, and it would minimize their risk. Now, Farida was the go-between. She got the cup in my cafe in exchange for the package of money. Then Harding met Bronwyn outside, got him into the alley somehow, and killed him, thus completing the triple cross and getting all the money for himself and Farida.
Ross is a fool, an utter fool. You know, he paid over £100,000 for that imitation cup, and why? To use it just once, this morning, out here, to drink poison from it and die, thinking he was gaining eternal life.
You mean he's going to commit suicide out here?
Exactly. The sacrificial rites of Amun-Ra. Well, that suits my plans all right, except that I don't want the copy of the cup to be found by his body. That's why we're going. If it is destroyed, there will be no shred of evidence to prove anything.
You're forgetting me.
Oh, no. You'll not be leaving the ruins of Amun-Ra. You'll be staying behind with Ross. For company.
The ghostly, roofless corridors of the ruins of Amun-Ra were eerie in the half-light of dawn. Here and there, crumbling walls had made mounds of loose rock. Suddenly, I could see, at the far end of the great hall, huddled over the altar where the first ray of the sun struck him crimson, the mountainous flesh of Ahmed Bey Ras, bare except for some ancient loincloth and headdress. In his belt was a hawk-eyed knife. In his hands, raised on high, was the golden lotus cup of Amun-Ra. Copy or not, it would serve its purpose today.
Listen to the fool. He's about to drink the poison. I'll go on up. Farida, you keep Jordan covered until I call you. And if he moves, shoot to kill.
You're going to let that poor old man kill himself?
Also, my dear, shoot Jordan if he tries to warn Ross.
You're going to let your uncle die a horrible death like that? It doesn't bother you that your boyfriend will be responsible? That he's already killed one man, that he's going to kill me? Doesn't murder bother you at all? Don't you know that you can be held responsible, too? An accessory?
Stop it.
Don't you know they can hang you?
Don't. Mr. Jordan, do not come any closer.
Oh, don't you know that...
Stop!
I shoved her off balance, stuck behind a column just in time. And I ran down a side corridor and out into the great hall. One look told me I was just a minute too late. Ross was slumped to the floor, his face in agony. And beside him, Harding was just picking up the lotus cup. I charged at him. I saw him raise his hand, but I didn't see what he was doing until the cup hit me in the side of the head. I went down, seeing stars. Then I fell him on top of me, saw the knife he had taken from Ross's belt raised high. Harding screamed and lay still. By the time I'd pushed him off and scrambled up and saw the knife sticking in his back, my old friend El Hassan had grabbed the cup and was running away with it. I wasn't sure what El Hassan was trying to do. He had heard the shots Farida fired, and he must have thought there were police out in front of the temple. He was trying to get over the back wall. He ran up on a mound of that crumbling rock. He was perhaps 50 feet up when the ancient stone gave way. The last thing I saw just before it vanished in the avalanche was the outstretched hand of El Hassan. And clutched in it, the imitation golden lotus cup of Amun-Ra.
Well, Jordan, perhaps Ahmed Bey Ras has achieved his dream of eternal life in death, even as old men.
Yes, sir, maybe so.
Jordan, two things still puzzle me. Why did El Hassan come to your rescue by killing Harding?
I don't know, unless he figured Harding jinxed the sacred cup by throwing it at me.
Perhaps. But what of Farida and her gun?
No problem, Sam. When she saw Harding was dead, it was all over. She just fainted.
Yes. Too bad such a lovely girl would allow her infatuation for an older man to involve her in such an affair. Now she must pay the penalty. Jordan, let this serve as a warning.
Oh, never again, Sam. There'll never be a next time, so help me.
We shall see, Jordan, we shall see.
For superb flavor, for dependable quality always, enjoy Del Monte fruits and vegetables. Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods.
Rocky Jordan, written by John Dunkel and Gomer Cool, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jay Novello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station, and the story is Cairo Tour.
When you're hot, when you're tired, when you're thirsty, do this. Have a tall, frosty glass of golden Del Monte pineapple juice, the tropic thirst quencher. Naturally tart, naturally sweet. It's a good source of vitamin C, besides. Del Monte pineapple juice. Try it.
Bob Stevenson speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. I do think that Rocky did not learn his lesson, just because he hasn't learned in all the time he's been living and the time we've been listening to this program. But you never know. The next few episodes that we have left, dozen or so, could just be Rocky, puttering around the Cafe Tambourine, but I kind of doubt it. I also thought this episode had a pretty high body count for Rocky Jordan. I think we ended up with 4 people dead, which is a bit more than is typical on this particular program. Or maybe it seemed higher just because you had like 3 of them in the last few minutes. Also, I do feel a bit for Chris. Because Rocky was nice and said, I didn't blame Chris for them getting away with the cop. But I do think that Chris, to his credit, does keep getting dragged into things that are a bit beyond what he thought his typical job description was. And this is the thing with Chris. Chris is not one of those sidekicks, the sort of Mark Donovan type character, like from Frank Race or Louis the Cab Driver, who is just constantly getting thrown into these situations, and it's just part of his life adventure. A lot of episodes he just tends the bar and takes care of the business. But suddenly, out of nowhere, in his life, this average guy working his job. And Rocky just says, come on, Chris, you've got to help me. This artifact of a fictitious religious cult is being stolen. And Chris just goes in there, he just does not know what to expect from day to day. Now we turn to listener comments and feedback, and we have some new reviews over in the Apple podcast store. This one comes from Vanity Alley R, says, I enjoy the shows and the commentary from the host. And Couscous writes, great podcast. The audio files are cleaned up so you can understand it, but it's still stamped with the unmistakable old-time radio sound. When I listen to these old-time radio shows, I imagine a time before TV permeated every household, and I imagine families huddled around their old-time radio with crackly speakers, hushing their children so they can capture every word of their favorite shows. Lucky for us, in this day and age, we can simply download them and play them anytime we want. Thanks to Adam and Andrew for cleaning up the audio. We can take old-time radio wherever we go. This is great entertainment for all ages. Love it. Thanks again. Well, thank you so much. That one from Couscous. And then we get this from GNX Gypsy. This dude needs to pull the microphone away from his mouth while saying welcome. Well, thanks so much for the tip. I'll keep that in mind. Thanks so much for the review, Gypsy, and for all the other reviews in the Apple Podcast Store. And that will actually do it. I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Kelly. Kelly's been one of our Patreon supporters since September 2018, currently supporting us at the rookie level of $2 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Kelly. And that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie. Next Wednesday, another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.